In The Rise of Baptist Republicanism, Orrin Smith, after loosely locating evangelical religion between mainline belief and fundamentalism to the right, concluded that the SBC was already on the rightward fringe of evangelicalism during the 60s and 70s, slipping into overt fundamentalism after its conservative faction took over in 1979. Political chronicler Smith took his criteria from Defenders of God, The Fundamentalist Revolt Against the Modern Age, 1989, a comparative study of religions and cultures by Bruce Lawrence, a prominent Duke University theologian. Lawrence's main yardsticks: creedal belief, scripture as the fount of legitimacy and ideology, an attraction to charismatic leaders and preachers, self-perceptions of embattled purity and righteousness, tendencies toward opposition and separatism, and domination by male elites, all seem to apply to the SBC. There is no doubt about its reliance on scripture, biblical inerrancy, disdain for ecumenicalism, and refusal to let women serve in positions of authority. The quibble, ironically, comes from the fringe right. South Carolina's separatist fundamentalists, centered at Bob Jones University, reserve true fundamentalism for themselves. They reject the SBC as too ecumenical and doctrinally impure. Theological beauty is also apparently in the eye of the beholder. The case for the Southern Baptist Convention as a sort of state or established church of the South, touched upon at least by many regional historians, may seem far-fetched given its fundamentalism. However, the two are not necessarily incompatible. Most characterizations of the SBC identify it, quite plausibly, as a folk church determined to keep its relationship with Southern farmers and country people. Religious historians have also profiled a commitment to scripture and sacred territory and a past of upholding and intensifying Confederate identity, comforting fighting men in the field, and serving after the war as a keeper of the flame of myth and history. This could fittingly be called quasi-nationalism. Indeed, these past identities also uphold the considerable analogy to the covenanting God and the biblical pre-fundamentalist churches of the other New Israels. All were actual or de facto state churches. In the 16th and 17th century Netherlands, the Dutch Reformed Church, and then the successor Dutch Reformed Church of 19th and 20th century South Africa. For Ulster, its pair of combative ancestral kirks, the Reformation Presbyterian Church of Scotland and its heir, the Presbyterian Kirk in Northern Ireland, the de facto church of the Scottish settlers. To extend the parallel, the heavy Scotch-Irish influence on the 18th and 19th century South is well documented. U.S. historian George Frederickson, a Civil War expert, has also found some similarity between how Southerners and Afrikaners experienced frontier circumstances and racial tensions. The partial SBC parallel to the circumstances and churches of other covenanting peoples deserves some attention in its own right. To chronicler Smith, the most evident feature of Southern Baptists is their very Southernness, along with their role in the South's folk religion, a case also framed by Southern Baptist academician Norman Vance in Religion Southern Style. Baptist exceptionalism, in turn, thrives on the evangelical link between cultural domination and pursuit of membership growth. Eventually, the notion of a Christian or even Baptist region becomes a civic religion, a mentality so binding that Southern Baptists begin to think of themselves as the cultural majority with the goal not of rejecting society, as some small, sect-like religious conservatives have done, but of absorbing it. In such a world, Baptist clergy and lay leadership have no interest in taking stands against Southern cultural norms. They are not motivated to oppose the culture or appear unpatriotic about the region, for to a greater and greater extent, they are the culture. They are the region. In 1996, they were also the nation, or at least the nation's Washington leadership. The President, Vice President, Senate President pro tem, and Speaker of the House were all Southern Baptists, an absolutely unprecedented foursome that would have stunned the 18th and 19th century Southern-born presidents who were Episcopalians or Presbyterians. Baptists were not the Southern leadership class. In 1861, the president of the Confederacy, Jefferson Davis, was an Episcopalian. In a sense, this was Washington's second upheaval during the 1990s. But surprisingly little attention was paid to the regional role of the church, to which Bill Clinton, Albert Gore, Strom Thurmond, and Newt Gingrich all belonged. Few descriptions of the SBC go beyond historians' acknowledgments or explanations of how it is unique in success and folk regionalism, distinctive, huge, fundamentalist, and biblical, independent, opposed to ecumenicalism, separate, a sense of apartness, expansionist, missionary and territorial, and a keeper of the regional and cultural flame, steeped in Southern history and memory. But these characteristics do seem to combine in a way that bespeaks the greater role that the SBC has played.